This is
Eastside
Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Survivor Show. What episode are we on, Brielle? I've lost count at this point. We're getting pretty deep into the season.
I have absolutely no idea. I think like 8 or 9.
Something like that. I think it might be 8. But yeah, that shows you how far we are getting into this Survivor season. We are now at, I would say, like, the normal merge point in the season, a little bit past it. We're like truly getting into the dynamics of the merge, where there's just chaos and tribe divisions are breaking down, and there's all kinds of different alliances, and who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, it was another exciting episode, in my opinion. What did you think, Brielle?
I thought it was average. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was pretty average. I mean, it's fine. Like, I was still surprised by who went home. Like, I didn't think that who went home was going to go home, but it wasn't like last week where I literally like fell out of my chair, which true story. But yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty average. I will say I really liked the challenge. I thought it was really like, I thought it was like simple, and like I liked that part about it. Like, anybody who wants to go on Survivor could like be at home practicing that challenge if they wanted to. So yeah, I liked the challenge, I'll say that. And I think we got a lot more like not behind the scenes, but like more like day-to-day life for what it's like for like Survivor players, so I liked that too. Just like the strategy part for me was like low-key kind of boring. I was like, okay, well, you know, good job, you're really going after some big threats, but I don't really want the big threats. Are like my favorite people, so I guess I don't want them to get out the big threats. But what did you think?
See, I thought it was interesting because I don't know, you're right, like, who at home, which we can say at this point, Janine, obviously going home, kind of ending her suffering after a few miserable episodes for her, with her just being completely blindsided again and again. I think that the fact that they were targeting Ryan made it exciting to watch episode for me, because I was just rooting very hard for them not to do that, because I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. Like, it's one thing if you want to get Janine, who's like an easy target. It's another thing if you want to go after like Cody, who's now been in the final two of the two individual immunity challenges we've had so far. But Ryan is like the perfect person to keep around, because he's getting you tons of food while also not being a huge challenge threat. Like, typically, if you have someone like Ozzy in past seasons, like, Ozzy was amazing at getting food and supporting the tribe, working hard, but he's also winning all the challenges, so like, you gotta get rid of him or something. Ryan, I don't think he's been in like the finals of either challenge we've had so far, and yet he's like going out, spending hours a day working for his tribe, getting them food. They literally just got food, and he still like wants to get them even more food to like show that he's this hardworking person, and they just didn't value that at all, despite him not really being a big threat. That made no sense to me, so I'm glad that it ended up going towards Janine. And the tension of that, of this, to what to me was a really stupid decision versus like what they ended up doing, I feel like that's why it was more interesting in my view.
Yeah, I will say I think that in terms of strategy, they made the right move. It kind of seemed like Janine was leading the charge, at least for the other people on the bottom. And
yeah,
Ryan didn't help out around camp. I don't know anybody else who's going to be able to get food. So, I mean, and if he's not performing well in challenges, like, why would you get rid of someone who's not really a threat? He doesn't seem to have a huge social game. At the same time, though, like, as a character on the television, like, I enjoyed watching Janine a little bit more than I enjoyed watching Ryan. Like, honestly, sometimes Ryan even frustrates me. I remember last week, like, he kind of, like, yelled at his part. I think it was, like, James. He, like, was like, you're not doing enough, or he said something along those lines during the challenge, so like that kind of annoyed me. So like from a viewer standpoint, I wish Ryan went home, but from like a strategist standpoint, like I was glad that Janine went home, and yeah, I was okay with it. I know last week you talked a little bit about James and, you know, his knowledge, his power advantage. It didn't really seem like that played a factor this week. And I will say that I have been like a huge, like, not a huge, but, like, I've actually really enjoyed watching James this season, but watching his reaction during the challenge really, like, I don't know, like, that put a really bad taste in my mouth. What about you?
Can you remind me, what was it that he reacted to?
He was, like, literally openly, like, not openly, but, like, under his breath, he kept, like, rooting for, like, Owen to get out. And, like, I understand, like, yes, Owen has voted for you twice, but, like, he was, like, drop, or he was saying something like that under his breath, and I was like, bro, that's kind of
rude. I think that's completely normal. I think someone just, like, tried to get you out of the game twice. Yeah, you're secretly hoping that they're out next. So.
Yeah, but you secretly hope in your head, not, like, under your breath. I don't know. I will say, like, I have liked him, like, a lot these past couple weeks, so, like,
I don't know.
I think he's a good player, but
I feel like that's one of those things where, like, our view of it watching at home on the TV is so different than in person because, like, I don't know, like, exactly how quietly he was saying it. It's hard to tell. But, like, if he's saying it under his breath, then, like, I feel like that's not that different than him saying it in his head because, like, presumably no one or very few people are hearing that he said it. But we as viewers at home are able to see that because they have a microphone on him and they can, like, zoom in on his face. So I feel like it's not a big deal if he's kind of just, like, muttering to himself. Like, if he had been, like, loudly shouting, like, yeah, drop Owen, yes, I can't wait for you to be out, like, that would be a total jerk move. But I feel like that's one of those things where, like, it wasn't a big deal to me because, like, it's not, he's not saying it to anyone else except for us at home.
Yeah, I can see that. So this all happened during the challenge, and the challenge seemed pretty simple, but I think what probably the most interesting part of the challenge was the fact that Jeff said that if five people forfeited playing the challenge, yep, they would get some rice. And he was very open. He said that there's, like, honestly no room for negotiation this season. And it's only going to get harder in order to earn food. And I was looking at the people who volunteered to step out, and they were the five people who volunteered to not play were all part of that, like, final seven kind of agreement. Yep. I don't really want to call it an alliance because I don't really think it's an alliance. I think it's more of an agreement. But what did you think about that?
Well, I thought that I was surprised by how easily they all stepped out, and I didn't like some of the moves that were made within that little sequence. First, I didn't like, just from a strategic perspective, so, like, I didn't like the fact that Sammy was so willing to just openly step out right away, because just a few minutes earlier in the episode, we had seen, like, some really impressive strategy from Sammy. I felt like he was really, like, coming into his own. I've talked about this last episode of the podcast where I was saying, like, I feel like he's, like, almost maturing within the game, seeming less like the young person out there. He was being so strategic this episode. I was really impressed, really, like, being like, okay, Sammy, like, I can get behind this. And then, like, he immediately sacrificed himself because it's just like, oh, well, I'm really hungry, so I'll step out before anyone else even agrees. I thought that was really poor, like, strategic gameplay on his part. At least, like, try not to be the first one. Same with, like, I forget who exactly it was, but one of the seven or one of the five stepped out as the fourth person without getting a fifth. And that's something where, like, last season we saw when it got down to, like, we need two more people, there was kind of some negotiating of, like, whoever that fourth person is has the leverage to sort of say, hey, whoever they want to also step out and not get immunity while they're sitting, you can say to them, like, hey, so-and-so, like, let's do it together, like, I'll be four if you're five. So that, like, I feel like they could have just played it better, but in the end, I guess it did work out because the vote just went on Janine. But I think that it's always risky because you never know what's going to come together, what blindsides there can be. And if Sammy or one of those other five went home, I feel like it would have been like missed opportunity to be a little more strategic about how that whole thing went. But I mean, they do have the rice now, so that is valuable.
Yeah, so I think, like, a couple things. One, in terms of, like, people stepping out, I thought it was honestly, like, when I saw Owen's confessional, I honestly, like, kind of, like, chuckled under my breath when James is like, oh yeah, Owen, you should step out, you'll be safe. Low-key, like, what are you doing, James? Like, he knows he's not safe. Like, that was just stupid gameplay on James' part, in my opinion. I was like, we all know that you're after, like, Owen knows you're after him. Everybody on that beach knows you're after him. Like, don't even bother at that point. So that kind of, like, honestly, that was kind of funny to me. But in terms of Sammy, like, once you brought that up, I tried thinking about it, because I'm like, I don't want to be biased towards him, because I feel like I am, like, everybody's aware, he's my favorite, so I don't want to be biased towards him when analyzing his gameplay. But at the same time, like, and as you were saying this, I've been thinking about it, I don't really know how to feel about that, because, you know, I do agree with you, he was having such good strategy this entire episode, not just at the beginning, even afterwards when he tried flipping the vote to Ryan, which, you know, obviously didn't work out, but, you know, he showed initiative. In terms of the stepping out first, I think you can look at it in two ways. One, yeah, like, why would you, he claimed that it was just because he's hungry, so if that's the real reason, then that's not a good enough reason at this point. Like, you're in the merge, you can't be stepping out because you're hungry. But I will say that if you're the first person to say, look, I'm willing to provide for you guys, and I'm willing to step out, and I'm going to be the first person to get this ball rolling, for people like maybe Janine or Noelle or even a James who might be a little bit more, or even Gabler too, people who might be more hungry than others, that might show them that, you know, look, he's willing to not help himself, he's willing to help me. Because playing in individual immunities, that's, I mean, you're supposed to be, but that's a selfish thing to do. Like, that's the whole point of the game. It's an individual game at that point. But if you step out, all those five people who stepped out, they showed that they were willing to do something for a tribe mentality rather than an individual mentality. And with Sammy being the first person to do that, that could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. So I still don't really know how to feel about it. I think I'm going to have to watch a little bit to see if it has any repercussions on his game. However, if it doesn't, like, I don't think it was a good or a bad move. I think it was just literally a move.
Yeah, I agree, with the exception of, like, how he did it. I think, like, I totally agree with you that he could definitely use it as this, like, positive move to show trust, like, build trust, show, like, unselfishness. I just think if you're trying to do it that way, don't step out there being like, well, I'm hungry. Like, say, like, either don't say anything, which I feel like that could be the most, like, selfless approach. Like, just step out there and be like, I'll do it. Or if you really want to sell it, be like, I'll do it. I know everyone's hungry. I'm going to, like, stand up for you. But I feel like the way he did it, of just like, oh, I'm hungry, like, doing it, I feel like that made it seem like he was doing it in a still selfish way, or at least not a, like, selfless, generous way. So I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that. So now that we've talked a little bit about the challenge, by the way, if you didn't see that, Owen won. It came down to Owen and Cody, so Owen won. So I think it's safe to say that he saved himself this week. But
Gabriel, I have one more thought about the challenge.
Yes, go ahead.
Just from the challenge itself, one thing I really liked about this challenge that I thought was just—it was just a small thing. We don't have to talk about it for long, but I thought it was really interesting how Jeff pointed out during that 30-second transition period, it was such an interesting strategic choice, and I really couldn't figure out what I would have done. Of like, do you start right away and use all 30 seconds to make sure that you don't drop because you have more time to figure it out? Or do you wait till the end and hope the other person drops, and then you never even have to add your sip? And that came into play at the end. I'm pretty sure Owen, I mean, he was kind of working on it, but I don't know that he ever had to, like, fully finish the adjustment period, because Cody failed before Owen, like, had to finish either way. So I thought that was a really interesting dynamic of, like, do you wait and give yourself 2 seconds to do it, which is really hard, in hopes that someone else drops? I thought that was just a cool part of the challenge.
Yeah, to be honest, I was thinking about it too, and I kind of came to the conclusion I probably would have done what Cody did, use the full 30 seconds, honestly, for no other reason but the fact that the wind scared me. Like, I was like, oh my gosh.
There was so much wind.
There was a lot of wind, which makes it even more difficult, I'd assume. And I don't really work well under pressure. I don't know a lot of people who do. I know there are some people, but I definitely am not one of those people, so I definitely want to utilize the 30 seconds. Clearly, that didn't work out for Cody, but I think it really is just an individual preference and knowing where your skill set lies. But,
yeah.
I will say, so last week, at the end of the episode, we were talking about the fact that Dwight went home, And we were wondering if Dwight went home with Janine's idol in his pocket, which we have come to find out in this episode that is true. Actually, no. Uh-huh. It's not. So the entire first 5 minutes of this episode, I'm like, oh my god, Dwight went home with Janine. Like, we're only getting Janine inside of Hugh. I'm like, oh my god, this is terrible. Like, this sucks for her. It still sucks for her, but Dwight did not go home with her idol. Aiden, what happened?
Well, so we found out that it is now in Jesse's hands, and I was very excited when we found this out for multiple reasons. For one thing, a bit of a theme on this podcast has been making predictions, and well, I don't think a single one of my official predictions at the end of the episode has ever been right. I did kind of predict, just as we were discussing last week, that I thought there was a chance the producers were going to try and trick us here, where they were going to make it seem like, oh no, Janine lost her idol, and then it turns out she, like, gave it back, or it was given back to her. That wasn't quite right, but there was a trick by the producers, because Jesse got it from Dwight before Dwight went home, and that leads to the second reason I was so excited, because I've been rooting for Jesse. I feel like now he has this secret idol, and actually, I guess there's a third reason I'm excited. Thank goodness, for once, and we'll see if it lasts, because it never seems to on Survivor, but for the first time in, like, a while, Jesse went an entire episode having gotten this idol without telling anyone. People are constantly telling, even if it's just one person who they think is their closest ally, they always tell someone, and then that person tells their closest ally, and it gets out, and now everyone knows. Jesse is truly keeping it to himself. He has this secret idol. He also has Cody's idol, so he has two secret idols. I'm so excited to see what happens with Jesse. I thought this was really cool. What do you think, Priya?
I definitely did. I thought it was a great play for Jesse, obviously. For Dwight, low-key, like, kind of funny. Like, I mean, yeah. Jesse was the one who, like, kind of helped vote him out. Cody and Jesse were the ones that initiated the whole Dwight vote out, and then Dwight gave the idol. That's just kind of funny. Sorry, Dwight. But I will say that I think it's great. It's a great move by Jesse, obviously, not to tell anyone. I mean, I see both points of view when people tell people. Like, one, you want to build trust. The other point of view, like, what are you doing? That's not gonna play out for you. Like, someone's gonna find out. So, I think that this is great that Jesse's not telling anyone. I will say about the other idol, I do see Cody asking for that back, which Jesse will obviously give to him, but now nobody knows about this other idol, which is great. I will say I'm not as high on Jesse as you are, for no particular reason. It's just I like other people a little bit more than I like Jesse. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's a great move for him, and I think going forward it's definitely going to, you know, play in his advantage. Yeah, I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah, I agree. So, have we talked about everything? Is there anything left we should address?
I think we have, honestly. I'm trying to think. Oh, you know, I did want to say this one thing. Mm-hmm. Just because it's back to Sammy, and we all know I love talking about Sammy. But I do find it interesting that Sammy wanted to, like, kind of go against the grain of the Final Seven agreement kind of thing. Just because, like, one, I do see the point of view. Like, yes, I don't think he really has someone that he's, like, ride or die with out there. Like, I don't see that at all. Like, I feel like Jesse and Cody are kind of ride or dies. And Carla and Cassidy are kind of ride or dies. So I do understand where he wants to go with at that point. Was it just me, or do you see, like, Sammy and Cody getting close?
I don't know. I feel like I could see it, but I don't know if I've seen evidence so far that they're definitely going to be close going forward. What do you think? Do you think they are?
I don't know, because I feel like not every scene, but I've seen a couple of scenes. That's funny. Anyway, I've seen some scenes since the merge where they're just like, honestly, just, you know, sitting together. Like, in this episode, they were doing the banner, or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. Together. I saw a scene where they were walking back from the water together after failing at fishing.
Okay.
So
I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, they're not, like, talking about it on the episode. Like, there's no obvious, like, the producers aren't showing any obvious, like, strategic scenes that are happening between them. But I feel like always in the background, there's like some teeny tiny scene that nobody pays attention to, or they're just together. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, that would be such a power duo. I'm just saying. But yeah, I hope that they kind of, you know, become allies. I don't think it'll last long. I think when, you know, eventually the big power people are going to try to take each other out, and that kind of sucks because I'd like to see them in the final two. But yeah, I definitely like those two. But I feel like now that, I mean, I feel like we've covered everything. Do we want to do predictions again for next episode? Maybe who wins individual immunity? Oh, wait, no, because there are two individual immunities.
Oh, I didn't watch the end of episode, like, preview, are there?
Oh, yes, okay, so next episode, there's going to be two individual immunities and two people going home. They didn't describe if it's going to be, like, 5 and 5 or if everyone's voting together, but... yes, there's going to be two individual immunities and two people going home.
Okay, well, what if we predict one person who will win immunity and one who will go home?
Okay. I'll say Cody's going to win immunity. If he doesn't, then, wow. I feel bad. I feel kind of bad at that point, because that just, I don't know. So I'll say Cody will win immunity, and I'm going to say that, ooh. I'm going to say that they're going to go after Owen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm also going to say Cody. I think that, as we were saying, he's been second place in the first two challenges. Now that second place also gets immunity, I think that's the perfect setup for him to get his immunity this time. And then, see, I was also going to say Owen, but I don't want to say the exact same thing, so I'm going to think of something else. Because my first thought was Ryan, but I don't think it will be Ryan. I think Ryan will bounce back a little from his close call here. I think that he'll stick around a little while longer.
Oh, you know what? I take it back. You can do Owen, because I take it back. Owen still might go home, but because there are two people going home, I actually think Gabler's going to go home.
Interesting. I don't think Gabler will go home yet. But yeah, I will say Owen. I think that, yeah, there seems to be some dynamic where Owen's a little bit on the outs. And yeah, unfortunately, I think he could go home, which would be disappointing because Owen seems really cool. And he's also, did you realize, I know that you mentioned this at the beginning of the season, but I thought his, like, analogy was really funny this time. Owen is, like, the director of admissions engagement at Tulane.
Oh, I didn't pick up yeah. on that. That's pretty cool.
Because I'm applying to Tulane, and I was looking on their website, and I see this familiar face. I'm like, wait a second.
Interesting.
And then I realized it was Owen from Survivor, so.
So, Owen, if you're listening, you know... you're, you know, yeah. on your, you know, laptop computer, like, going around and, like, you know, seeing if anybody's talking about your season, we got you.
Yep, for sure. And if you're looking for Survivor fans to admit to Tulane, hit me up. So, I think that will bring us out this week. Any last thoughts?
No, I think we covered it all.
Great. All right, well, thanks for listening to episode 8, we hope, of the Survivor Show, and we'll see you next week.